Well, it's 1 minute past the hour of 8, and the mic has now come to the great region, to the great Oshana region, coming to you live from the Ondangwe studio, and it's now the big mic behind the mic. Very good morning to you. It's a beautiful morning, and how is your morning, wherever you find yourself? So whether you are in the great region of Zambezi, you know, in Katima, or you are in Opuwo, in Okunene, or you are in a place called Far Genoeg, you know, somewhere in the south. And so good morning to you and welcome to your favorite talk radio station. Thank you, David, you know, for, you know, transferring the mic to the big mic. To the big mic here. All right. You are welcome and welcome. And thanks for joining us this morning. And thanks for making that choice for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company, at this very morning. It's a Thursday morning, the 23rd of October. And the year goes very fast, man. It's just one point when you think, we are somewhere in February or March, and now we're talking about October, already coming towards the end of the month of October. So, all right. So I hope you are ready. And if you haven't, get up and go. You know, you got to get to work. So, and if you're on the road, make sure that you are driving safe and you get everybody safely to their destination. So good morning. And welcome. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, in economics, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, numbers, those that are making headlines. And we keep it clear, a little witty, always and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. Now, the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM, and we are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation with you so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space, this is your platform to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So if you're just joining us, you're tuning to Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM, your favorite 24/7 talk radio station. So as usual, we look at the history in Africa, what happened on this day. In Africa, not much really happening between yesterday and today. Hopefully, you know, we will get enough events in the history of Africa. So the African nations of Zambia, the African nation of Zambia, gained independence from British colonial rule on the 23rd of October in 1964. And on the same day, in 2011, the Libyan National Transitional Council officially declared the Libyan civil war over, okay, following the death of Muammar Gaddafi. So, but on the same day, on the 2020, the second Libyan civil war came to an end, as all party to the 5+5 joint Libyan military commission agreed to a permanent countrywide ceasefire. So basically, those are some of the significant events that took place on this day in the history of Africa. And today's our thought of the day, Thursday, October the 23rd, our thought of the day. Where there is a will, you probably have said this many times, where is the will, there is a way. What does that proverb mean? The proverb means that if someone is truly determined to do something, they will find a method or a path to accomplish it, you know? And no matter how difficult or unlikely it may seem. Now, so the proverb emphasizes the power of persistence and resolve. So suggests that obstacle can be overcome with enough motivation and creativity. So it encourages people not to give up just because something seems hard. For example, imagine someone would want to study abroad but lacks money. Now, if they are truly committed, they might apply for scholarship, work part-time, or seek sponsors. So their strong will drives them to find a way. So where there is a will, there is a way. So that's our thought of the day this morning. And make sure that you have that strong intention, desire, and determination, you know, and try all the means, method, opportunity to achieve your goals. Hopefully that help, you know, how you make decisions and choices in life throughout the day today. So good morning to you. If you're just joining us, our time is about 8 minutes past the hour of eight. So what do you expect in the show this morning? Is as fully packed as usual. And today there is a story that we didn't unpack yesterday, and I wanted us to do that. We're going to pack the urban water woes, you know, that is not only happening in Rundu, but specifically we're looking at that story that we covered, that was covered in the Villager of yesterday, where James Sankwasa say, "I want water in Rundu." So we're going to look into that. And the other story that we're going to look at, who owns our land? If you want to know, stay tuned. If you want to find out who owns our land, so please make sure that you stay tuned. So, and also, if we have time, this is something that David have actually analyzed today, the Namibia financial system. So, and we're going to look at that, but, you know, it says remain stable despite slow growth. So maybe we're going to take a different angle to what he has already spoken, if we have time. So, and your participation will also be part of the show. Make sure that you are unpacking with me to be able to participate. So when we come back, make sure that you stay tuned, and we will be back in a sec.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, welcome back, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. And yeah, and if you want to follow programs like these, wherever you are, or program like Early Morning Scoop, Kutha Musha, On the Radars, and other program throughout the day, make sure that you download that Eagle FM mobile app so that you can listen wherever you are, wherever you find yourself. So if you find a leisure time sometime, or you are in the boring meetings, you know, you can always have your headphones on and, well, enjoy your program wherever you may be. So, all right. So I know someone who does that. I'm not going to mention his name. He said, well, I always listen to Eagle FM when I'm in those kind of boring meeting, I put on my headphones and then, I'm listening. You see? I hope, you know, just an example of what you can do. All right. Welcome. And in this segment, we're going to look at this story. This story is actually making waves, or rather exposing the lack of them. Okay. That's actually in Rundu. So the urban and rural development minister, James Sankwasa, has demanded action from NamWater and the Rundu Town Council over the town's worsening water crisis. So thousands of residents have faced dry tap for weeks. Tempers are rising. The minister say he wants water in Rundu urgently. But behind this public plea, by the minister, lies a complex web of problems. Old pipes, unpaid bills, poor planning, and even perhaps some deeper questions about how we manage basic services in our Namibia's growing towns. So there are a number of towns that are growing. So are we keeping up pace with the growing population in these towns? So there could be some deep questions that we needed to answer in terms of those. But let's unpack what is really, really going on. Now, Rundu, I haven't been in Rundu for a while. So it's the capital of the Kavango East region. So has grown fast. It really have, maybe too fast. So because there are so many people actually flocking to towns. So yeah, it is a home to nearly 100,000 people, and the number are climbing every year. So, but the water system service, the water system serving the town, hasn't kept up. I think it hasn't really kept up with the growing number of people coming to town. Well, yeah, so much of the infrastructure date back years ago, decades ago, not even years ago, decades ago. And this means there's always those, these frequent leaks, low water pressure, as it is the same as it in other towns as well. So it's not, this is not an exception to Rundu. So as we have seen again and again, those long period when tap simply gone dry. You know, so, and as I said, this is not just exception. It's not an exception to Rundu town. It happens actually to even, you know, I wouldn't want to mention them now, but it happened even to my own town. All right, we come back after this.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the you in UNAM is you.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Well, welcome, welcome. Yes, Imba is a revolution, my friend. Imba, it's a revolution. If you are a religious person, even if you are not, believe me, you know, make sure that you download that, because as I always said, you don't want to be, you know, when you are at those places. Yeah, I'm someone who loves to sing. I'm not good at singing. Not bad at all, really, not bad. But but if you are in charge of, you know, funeral, wedding, any event where the people are singing, yeah, you want to look like, you know, you fit in. And you can only do that with Imba, you know, when you have your Imba, whatever language they chose, voila, you have it right in your palm of your hand. Yeah. So make sure that you download that, app, Imba app, and it will save you. It makes you look cooler anyway. I feel cool when I don't have all these books out. I just, you know, people looking at, he's singing from his phone. You know, make sure that you do that. All right. So now let's get to Sankwasa. Okay. Let's get to Mr. Sankwasa. Now, Mr. Sankwasa's frustration is very, 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 very clear. He wants immediate action. He told the NAMWATA and the Rundu Town Council, fix leaks, use local plumber. These are that are coming out of Rundu vocational training. So, and prove they can deliver. So, but where does the really problem lies? This is what we do here. So where does the really problem lies? Is it technical? The reasons why there's a problem in Rundu, is it technical? Well, is it financial? Or is it political? So, now, let's look a little deeper. Let's get into this a little bit deeper. It's not just as simple as it seems. So, now, here's the number that might make you pause, okay? So as of February 2025, the Rundu Town Council owes NAMWATA 333 million. So, and that's up from 250 million just a few months earlier. So it is easy to say NAMWATA should supply more water. It is easy to say that. But how do they keep the taps flowing when the bills aren't paid? NAMWATA operate as a utility. So it needs fund to treat pumps. I mean, it needs fund to treat, to pump, and distribute water. So when town can't pay, the entire system suffers. That's one side you should put. Just have that in the back of your mind. When the minister now, you know, telling, you know, I need that water on now. Really? I just want you to think about that. That NAMWATA need money. And the town council owe about 333 million. But here's the catch. Now, residents are the one who suffer most. Now imagine you are paying your water. You're paying your bill faithfully. You're paying your bill faithfully every month. And yet still waking up to empty bucket and tap that just he's with air. You know that when you open and say, you know, imagine now you are paying faithfully your water. What would you do? That's another angle you can look at. What about those who pay their water? And there's no water in the town at all for weeks. Will you be refunded? So there's another angle you can look at. So, and now the question you can really ask, you can now ask, who is really accountable? The council, NAMWATA, or the central government? Who is accountable? So, should NAMWATA cut off services over debt? Probably yes. Or should government step in to protect citizens' right to water? But how can also the government, should that be the practice of the government though? What about the responsibility of citizens themselves? Now, this tug of war over responsibility, well, it's not new really. You know, you can think of towns like Kitmansjoub, Gobabis, Katima Mulilo, and others have faced similar standoff. They faced the same similar standoff. And each time, the same question returned. Who pays? Who delivers? So we are in that business. You pay, we deliver. But the question, remember, those who pay are not receiving water as a consequence of those who don't pay. So who pays and who delivers? So now, so the next big issue is infrastructure. The Rundu current water system depends mainly on the pumping water from the Kavango River. But the pipes and the pumps are old. They are ancient. Breaking downs are frequent, and electricity cuts make even things worse. You know, and when we talk about development, you know, what are some of the things that on top of your, you know, on top of your priority? Water, electricity. If you don't have that, you go nowhere. If you don't fix those, you go nowhere. Speaking like a Nigerian. Sound like a Nigerian. All right. So the official admit one of the main pump lines is leaking. A new water treatment plant is under construction, but it won't be ready until next year. So that's the long term fix. Okay. It's not the emergency that Xankwasa is asking. Now, the short term, what is the short term? Well, that's where the debate heats up. Okay? The short terms, it's where the debate heats up. Now, local plumbers, many trained at the Rundu vocational training centers, are sitting at home, unemployed. Yeah? You have local plumbers that are sitting at home, unemployed. The minister is asking, why are they not being hired to help fix the leaks? The question cuts deep into another national issue. That question cuts deep into another national issue. Unemployment among skilled youth. So it's not only qualified teachers, but you have now other, you know, skilled youth that are sitting at home while pipes are leaking in town. The minister is asking, why are they not being used to fix this? Now, can local talent really make a difference in addressing service delivery? Definitely they do. They can. They are trained to do that. So, or is this just, could it also mean a deflection attention from deeper management failures? So, it could be also a deflection issue. Yeah. Could the minister deflecting attention from a deeper management failure? So think about it. All right. So some of this, I want you really to analyze. Not just the things that are being said. So there are deeper issues sometimes than we may not really know exactly, but, you know, we can also question, what about this? Oh, and the whole question of another sticking point is communication. And this is really unprofessional of many town council. You know, residents say they were never properly, you know, informed before water rationing began. They started just rationing water, and they were not properly informed. Well, one have also to follow up to find out whether that's the case. So imagine waking up getting ready for work, and you have paid your water fully, finding your taps dry. Without warning. Imagine that. So when authority fail to explain or plan properly, even a small problem can turn into a crisis of trust. Believe me. A small, especially in a public service, a small crisis can turn into a crisis of trust. People begin to feel ignored, feel powerless, feel angry. So, and this is not just about pipes and pumps. It's about confidence in leadership, you know, at every level, from every level, from regional to, you know, to central. So Rundu's water shortage have been predicted for years. It has been predicted. Even the town owned development report, their own development report warned of shortages by 2020 already. They warned that there will be a shortage. So why are we acting in 2025 as if it is a surprise? I mean, this is in the report. Why are we acting that, oh, this is a surprise now? It is in the report. That by 2020 already, 5 years later, now we're acting as if this is a surprise. So, now, maybe let's look at the broader now, the broader implications. So what happening in Rundu, I think it's not just a local story. It reflects a bigger national pattern. This is, you have seen it somewhere. I mentioned some of the town as well. One thing that we're seeing is a rapid urban growth. So the urban, the people are flocking to town. So the other thing also that we see is underfunded councils. Okay? Councils are also not adequately funded. And we also then seeing this aging infrastructure in many of the councils, in town councils. So that is a national, we see that big national patterns. Rapid urban growth, underfunded councils, aging infrastructures, and are we prepared? Are we planning properly? You know, are we planning for the number of people now flocking to town, to urban areas? So will our aging infrastructure be able to accommodate this wave of people coming to town looking for jobs or better life? So Namibian urban's population has more than doubled since independence. It new suburb, you know, schools and hospital add pressure to the
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
All right, welcome back. So what we see is that the urban population has more than doubled since independence, and that increase, you know, at some time you create new suburb, new locations, and in those new locations you create new schools. There are new schools that are coming up. You actually create new hospitals, and all this add pressure to the existing system, and the system haven't changed, haven't been upgraded, hasn't been improved. So, but our investment in maintenance and expansion haven't kept the pace as well. It haven't kept the pace with the development in those in towns. So the Rundu stories also raises questions about how we balance development between urban and rural communities. Should more be done to strengthen a smaller settlement to reduce that pressure on towns? Because then when you do something in a smaller settlements, people wouldn't be more, you know, wouldn't be more many people coming to towns. So, or do we need a national water reform plan that secures supply for all growing centers? Well, something to think about. And what about the climate? The Kavango River, Rundu's lifeline, that's actually Rundu's lifeline, faces increasingly pressure from environmental changes and development upstream. So, how sustainable is our dependency on one river for entire region water supply? How sustainable is that? Well, that's another question you have to, you know, think about. So now, so if we can wrap up this this discussion, so Rundu's crisis shows how linked our problems are. So it shows how our problems are linked: infrastructure, debt, infrastructure, debt, employment, communication, environmental change. All that, they intertwine. They are linked. It's not just about who fixes the pipes. It's about how we govern shared resources, how we plan for growth, how we hold on in, or how we hold one another accountable. How do we hold our people accountable? It's all linked. So, Minister Sankwasa, demand for a quick result is understandable. Of course, it's understandable. People need water now. They need water right now. But the deeper challenge is really ensuring we don't find ourselves here again next year or a year after that. That's the deep challenge. That we make and ensure that, you know, we kind of deal with this so that we don't find ourselves again and again in the same position, which we seem to be the pattern. So what do you think? So, dear listeners, so what do you think? Should NamWater be stricter with councils that don't pay up? Or should government actually bail them out to protect residents? So that's something for us to think about. Or what role should communities themselves play in managing local services, because they have a responsibility? So I would love to hear your thought. Our telephone number, 08333 66091, 08333 66091. So you are welcome to come through now and have your comment on, and have your take on this water crisis in Rundu town. Maybe you are in Rundu. You are from Rundu. Tell us what is going on, how is this being handled, and how do you, how is the whole saga affecting either your businesses, you know, or your life, your standard of life in general? So give us a call. A telephone number, 08333 66091. Or this is maybe something that is similar happening in your town. Doesn't have to be in Rundu. So what is your experience? So, and what should be done? 08333 66091. So give us a call and let's have a chat.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend.
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Mike.
How are you, man?
Good, good.
Yeah.
Hey, Sankwasa. Yeah, no, it's good to be active.
Yeah.
But terms and regulation, or how do they call it? That is also need to be implemented.
Mm.
Yeah, because if you look at who are owing the NamWater.
Yeah.
It's not the community, the settlement location, or yeah, it's those ministries and those SOE government entities.
Yeah.
So now it end up affected, yes, some of these people. But the question is why those people are not paying on time, why they are relaxing if they are including in the budget. Because why we say the settlement is not the one that is owing, because those ones, they have a prepare taping
system.
They you go to municipality, you buy the some car unit of your 25 liter. So it goes business in hand.
Yeah.
But these entities, it's like they are buying on bulk. Mm-hmm. You order on bulk, you pay later. Which someday, because water is a dairy commodity is needed, right? Mm. So you cannot let them running those ministries without water.
Yeah,
no matter they want them to disconnect it's affecting them for their performance. So at the end of the day, NAM Water is just writing it up that you are owing such as much, but we are opening it, also paying about maybe 20%, but each year is accumulated that. So that is where the problem is. Yeah, the other flocking of the population, that is another issue.
Yeah,
that one we cannot talk about it because it's an issue of the government with those traditional authorities. Yeah, those
but
people.
Can't we can't we foresee that where we see that? Well, there is a trend that you can always see that, you know, from this time as from independence, because maybe there is nothing really we did in the rural. People are more are flocking to towns, and how do we then? Haven't we planned how we can upgrade our systems, whether either water system or whatever electricity, to actually cater to the number of people that are flocking to this urban areas.
Yeah, as I said, the issue. Yeah, some of us will know where the issue is.
Yeah,
as I said, the issue is started from the traditional authority when it comes to land.
Mm.
So these people are not get, especially in Irundu now. I mean in Okavango now.
Yeah.
Whether it's Okavango East, Okavango West.
Yeah,
yeah, they don't give. This headman or whatever senior, those guys, they're making money out of land. They don't locate it lending to the to the people for that area.
Mm.
So these people now, they want also to live independently, adults life, which you can raise your children and doing that. For you to go on that, you have to getting a portion of land where you can put your shelter or whatever, or traditional hand hut or anything that you are putting it for you to raising your children. So the option now for you to getting rent quickly is in village council or town council. Those are the only option for those people.
Yeah.
So that's why now if you look at the government and traditional authority, the government wanting to taking out the land from the traditional authority so that it can see how it can do with those people.
Mm.
So that is another issue. The development of town now. Development on town, they don't communicate with this income, with this newcomer, that this is the living of town. You don't live where there is no services. So they have now to come up with that services, but they are using a word resettlement or illegal resettlement.
Yeah. But the problem, if we wait for a place, for an area to be served, that's going to take years.
Yes, it's what I'm saying. It's what I'm saying. Now them, they're hiding on that illegal resettlement.
Yeah.
Even if the president asking them that, why we hear there is no services in Omashaka.
Mm.
They will say, no, those people, they are illegal. We are already warned them that they must remove their you see now. But continuing living on that illegal.
Yeah.
So, and the pain of the country now, it goes to who? It goes to the president.
Yeah.
So those are the things that I'm saying. They don't teaching people how to live in town.
Yeah.
The people who come and living in the village life in town.
Mm.
And whose fault is that? It's a town, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the town have to come up with something for them to accommodate this with the development. That is, because town you don't live and development. You have to live in development. Yeah. You have to live in the modern life. Flushing toilet, taping to the what, tire road, street light in the night. So those are the things that is needed to be.
Yeah.
But they don't come with this. Whose fault is that? Because our policy is very clear. But people are not applying it in this Namibia. It was only happening in the time of Tate Nyoma.
Yeah.
He was controlling this thing, even the illegal immigrant or whatever you are calling it. He was controlling them.
Yeah.
Even a street vendors, they were controlling. The police applied it. That's why people were doing business, the government making money. But nowadays, government are not making money.
Mm.
But look at who are not paying on time. It's a SOE.
Yeah.
It's not the people, as I told you here. Because if you go to Omashaka now after your program, you're finding them that, no, as we have those stepping things, we are paying on time.
Yeah.
Because I buy what I'm affording. I don't buy a drum. I'm buying my 22 to 150 liter, which is 325 containers.
Mm.
You see now. So those are the type of things that we need to understand instead of just Sangwasa starting saying he think he is doing job, but you are not doing job.
Yeah.
Follow the procedure.
Yeah, and the other thing is that it's actually the government that actually owe this because we talk about this SOEs, we talk about the talk about the ministries that are owed millions and millions.
Millions of, because we know it, you know, Marinda, I know what else. I think it's those states and what, those small village councils.
Yeah.
All those people who are owing is not the
ordinary citizens.
The ordinary of that town. No. It's those the type of people. That's why I'm saying the police here are not working. President is addressing the issues.
Yeah.
But he never addressing those people to say, why you are not implementing this?
Yeah.
And why we are putting it? If it's not good, let's just removing it. So that you can find something that's accommodating everybody.
Yeah.
So those are the problems I'm saying. You cannot ignore the living of town just because you want them to be in illegal settlement. No.
Mm.
Things are not work like that.
Yeah.
Go with your development, let them paying that development, which everybody's starting to understand.
Yeah.
Because they come with ready. But look at Rundu now.
Yeah.
Some people are going to tap water in what?
We quickly have to pay the bills and then maybe you can conclude, okay?
Okay.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you because you clearly haven't been polanified. Like, boring day at the spun. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
All right, maybe you should try that, yeah?
Yeah, I will try for that. Yeah. So if Mr. Sangwasa wants to do work,
yeah,
he must attacking people with policies, rules and regulations. If you see what is Inspector General Shikongo doing, he doesn't go to the street without those act or article or whatever is on the police.
Yeah.
He asking those forces to do what they are training for.
Yeah.
And why the government are not doing, why there some ministries are not doing that?
Mm.
Ministry of Trade, for example,
They don't do that. They don't go to town council and say, a trade person must be registered with this and that. Mm. Eh? Mm. So it's the same with those Namula Watuwat. They forcing people who are registered with their
companies. Yeah.
Companies. Mm. But what about those who are trading illegally? Eh? Mm. They don't do that. They don't use the police. But the police said you cannot trade without register. But we have a lot of foreigners that are trading without register.
Yeah.
And you want to tell me that you are working, you are a tough guy. Sankwasa is not a tough guy because he is not applying, he's not catching fish with the instructing of the net.
Yeah.
No. He just say, yeah, because we know how to complain. Namibians know how to complain.
Yeah.
They know how to address your weakness. But give them solution, they cannot. If you said, okay, I'm weak in this, give me a solution.
Yeah.
They will not give you the solution. Okay, let's hear from others.
Right.
But that is what I'm blaming Mr. Sankwasa. If you listen to the radio today, that Mr. Sankwasa, leading all the policy of those regional rural development, what it say?
Mm.
In the rural development, we do what? We are expecting to do this.
Mm.
In the urban area, we are expecting to do what? And what and what? How do a person living in the urban area?
All right.
What is the town council need to do? So those are the things that we need to do here. Because you cannot allow people to come and live without proper sanitation. And you are telling us that the town is growing. It's growing on what?
Yeah.
Because of the people are flocking. They are not flocking because they want it. They are forced to come on that area.
Hmm.
That's why I'm saying the Rundu is not an industrial area to compare with Tokopmon, Valveshbai, or Winduki here. Those one you know, they come to looking for work and go back. Rundu, they come to staying forever.
They come to live.
Come to live forever there.
Yeah.
Because the traditional authority are not giving them land.
Mm.
Eh? They give to those elite people. If you go on the list of the people who are living in that, having land in that area,
yeah,
they are from what? They are from the government.
Mm.
So let us not always entertaining people when because they are speaking beautiful English or whatever. Okay, Mike.
Thanks for coming, Truven.
You're welcome.
All right. So what is your take? Are we talking about the water crisis in Rundu? And as we said, there are more deeper, complex issues rather than, you know, turning on the tap. So what is your take? 08-333-66-091. So come through and have your reactions. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, that Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself, Madume?
I'm all right, my brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, we are talking about the water issue.
Yeah, and especially, you know, issues that they have been known. One thing that you, when you read that, when you look at the stories in our villages, it tells that this is things that they known already, that the problem have known. Now we come to 2025 and we look surprised, you know?
Yeah.
And those has been already in the report.
Yeah. It's almost like maybe I'm hearing that the problem of Olundu for water more than even 4 years now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's been a while. And you're wondering now how far is from Lundu to what, Kavango River?
And I used to wonder, why would I actually complaining about what? Why would actually Lundu have a problem of water when the river is just nearby?
Cross the road.
So.
And sometimes I think us, ne? Instead of doing a practical thing, is that we rely on drawing in the papers.
Yeah.
And wait until the paper approve us, even though we are dying for thirsty.
Mm.
And these things I was also complaining about. I mean, people are complaining to Angwena. I can't remember the place, but it's near to Scotto. That side. Where the farms are, their cattle are dying for thirsty.
Yeah.
Then I'm asking, is this so hard, guys, to come together, then dig F dam?
Yeah. So
They were waiting for Oketo to die seriously because of Festi.
You know, remember the governor, you know, when I spoke to her on here, she said those are earth dams that she was talking about. We still actually hope that she would initiate some of those. Yeah.
They're still waiting for working on it. Not yet is having to be done. What I was telling you that the problem here, we are too lighting a candle with theory, and the theory doesn't bring any bread on the table.
No, as they said, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap, as many people said. I mean, talk is cheap. We need to see this happening.
Because now, remember one thing, that these guys, they're having even vocation there. And they're having people who are, some of them, they're not even being recruited. Because, like a plumber said, they're supposed to be taken by the local authority or those councillors which are coming up town. But mostly, they are putting them on the contract base. Yeah, because this is what we learn from window. And the problem I see is that they don't want to upgrade their old pipe. And they have people who are in the street, who are supposed to help you. But yet you are, even though you remember the issue of even like Red Force, instead of the people to be recruited on the price of Red Force, they are using Red Force as a contractor. But these are supposed to be people who are working for municipality.
Yeah.
And they can do that in their department. But just imagine you are making somebody to pay double. A person who already struggling to pay what he do it to you, now I'm making it that person to pay double because you're hiring somebody instead of to do your job, your job description. The thing is that what I'm saying is that when I come to Sangwasa, yes, you can say yes, it's in the radio, it's in the newspaper every day, but seriously, you can say no, it's doing something else. It's doing something at least, giving hope to the less than. Or to the people of Namibia. Because we see some people are just quiet. Here we have issue where those cleaners have been demonstrating almost the past 2 weeks. But not even a labor minister or commissioner you see making a statement. Nothing. They're all quiet in their air conditioning office.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you are saying you are representing people. At least, and what he's doing is doing better. Because remember one thing that Namwota, they support even, they are the one in the fault first.
Yeah.
Because what I heard is that those people are busting and what every day.
Yeah.
But Nam.
They are old.
But Nam.
Everything has its own time, my friend. You know, exactly. Since independence, there was nothing actually done. You know?
Yeah, you see now. Yeah. And now we are having a lot of people on the way, the water. As opposed to land on the high press, but Namwota is still using this 1960.
Because you know, some of this infrastructure were only built for a certain number of
small population.
Small population in town. Now that has doubled or even tripled, you know, and the infrastructure it's not keeping up. First of all, it's old, and it doesn't keep up with the number of population that has grown.
You see. And the problem, what I see, is that we are just waiting for maybe people to be double so we can solve the problem. Or how? Are we not supposed to work towards the development already? Because what I see, most of towns, they are, everywhere you go, even in Windhoek, people are just leaking of what? To develop the areas. I can tell you, if you come around, like even check those locations which then exist, like Havana, Goria Harbor, Kanja Park. Up to now, they are still the same. Nothing is going on. But every day people are flocking to town because in the rural area, there's nothing happening. In the day, we have a push and what? It's push and pull factor. Do you think people are not going to be attracted to Windhoek when you're having what? Smart city. where people are using, able to download in 1 second, they were able to download the 10 page. In the rural area, you have to climb the tree, and you might end up not even, your phone is roaming the data for the past even, 1 hour, until you run out of the battery, without completing anything, any downloaded. And when you are looking even at the university level, they're available in window.
Yeah.
You got the what you are struggling even to submit your assignment because there's nothing going on. And we are not trying to decentralize in Namibia. This is, we are the one at the fault. At the end of the day, me, I don't blame so much municipality, because some of them, the way we say, they are getting less budget.
Yeah.
Some of them even, working
on. And even the budget, this is the financial, how would I put this? The budget is from, you know, it's not from bottom up, it's from top down. You know,
so that,
it's
windhoek
that determine what you're gonna get this year.
What you can get, yeah.
What would be the capital project that's gonna be funded this year, rather than actually the council who decided to say, look, this is our budget and this is what we want to do. If you don't have the money, if you don't control the money, if you don't control the budget, you'll be idle because you don't know what's gonna happen.
You know, Mike, you remember when there was funding for youth, when I was talking about, no, guys, we make the things like easy, because there was a deadline, it was near, but until they extended. Just imagine, you have to travel to go to Sakati for social security, for you to register the company. All those things, the office, a nice office, are either in Sakati, Enana. And you are living in Ongwelume Day. Then you have to learn around to register a company or do something. That's what I'm saying. The thing which are forcing people, we are the one who are creating it.
Yeah. Like the previous caller said, look, much of the, it's actually SOEs, it's actually government ministries that are actually owing millions and millions of NAM water. And who are
which is true.
It's the people who pays the water.
Just imagine, you pay your amount.
Yeah, because
now you come and the tape is crossed.
Yeah.
So do you think, really, do you think what I'm going to pay for the next month, if I didn't save the water this month? Does it encourage really somebody to pay, to keep paying, what I'm paying for, if I'm not getting the service which I'm supposed to be paid for? Every day I'm receiving a bill for what? It's what I'm saying, which we are the one. And sometimes I think also it's a hard time also, this local government ministry, serious to look in. Maybe we can have a committee, not this committee, what apparently a committee which go there after 5 years, that to check. No, we're supposed to have people who are from the residing, without even get them involved in the what local authority, as long as they are just able, overseeing what is the operation of those guys and what they are doing. Because it's a hard time, some of them, they are, let me say now, like Olundu, you cannot cry foul because even you dig a borehole, seriously, you'll be able to supply to the people, to the resident.
Yeah.
Because the water are not far from you.
Yeah.
I'm comparing to Angwena maybe, Angwena is also okay because we have the Aqua what? The thing is that we are not really doing anything. Maybe if it was like electricity, we can understand because it's too much expensive. Mm-hmm. But water, seriously, guys, no man. It's a hard time, I think, some people have to leave.
Yeah.
And give that chance to people who are performing.
I said, this is what the president said. They said if there are policies that are preventing us to deliver, we must get rid of those policies. It's the same. It goes with people as well. If there are people who are not performing, we want to see the head spinning.
Exactly.
We want to see the head spinning. Yeah. We can't go on, you know?
No. It's that time, man. We're supposed to complain to something else, like maybe technology. They say, no, guys, why are you giving us a 3G which we are using here? we cannot download our thing. Now we are complaining about water. It's what I'm saying. The other country are complaining something else. Those are issues with the deal in 1970. And we are here.
I mean, the implication of this is without water and electricity, forget about development.
Exactly.
Forget about
it. We are not going anywhere.
And forget about investors, because
all
this news of water in terms of Rundu, for which, who would be thinking of going to invest in Rundu?
To invest there. If they know that there is always a crisis of water.
Yeah.
It's a problem, Mike. We are our enemy of ourselves.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, man. Thank you for coming through.
All right. Cheers.
Very good morning to you. Our time, it's about 2 minutes past the hour of 9. We still have quite plenty of time for you to come through and have your opinion. So you might be from Rundu. I'm looking for people from Rundu. Anyone from Rundu, come through, man. Let us know. Tell us what is happening. What is happening in Rundu? How are you guys coping, you know? Maybe you're a business person, and how is your business coping without water and all that? So, yeah, 08333 66091, 08333 66091. So you may come through. We're talking about Rundu water woes or crisis.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafa, Sanana, Longeshifa, Yai, Shuita Moshiwana, E. Moyao, O Tango Tisamwene, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangika, Seisanina, Omeaguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongeshifa, Yokupira, Mo Ikelefe Media House, Gue 20 Mimeha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki wimepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datu heari hamano tano o niaj. Igele FM, the eye.
No man. Good morning, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself, Angabwana?
Fine, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, now, in that context.
Yeah.
Are they now summoned to come and explain? I think that's what you said. Why is the disruption, no water, and all those essential services, commodities, are not there? So is that what the minister is calling them to explain?
Yeah, he called everybody.
No, I mean the particular, the Rundu that you are referring.
The town council, NAMWATER, everybody.
That's good. I love that strategy.
Yeah.
It's a very, very well-thought strategy. So that everyone is explaining his or her own part. Why is this disruption? Is it because of... inefficiencies in terms of deployment of the resources?
Yeah.
Is it because of bureaucratic kind of hindrances? So it's a good approach so that, and he has done a lot to all those authorities. And we have seen some kind of revival in the, looking for energies, how to coordinate their things. So a lot of, I have got two documents here, is it confident, where the auditor's reports for the municipal authorities are presented. And you see a lot of mismatch, a lot of improvement. In fact, not even improvement in some of the things, because some of the billings were wrongly entered, falsified. Those are what the reports are saying. So if he has to come now and revise the system to become more efficient, effective, in service delivery, especially in those basic needs, necessities. I think it's something that demands, you know, a big, what, how do you say, approach, you know, omake.
Yeah.
Mr. Mike?
Yes?
Are you there?
I'm here, I'm listening, I'm listening.
Oh, Shamani, omake, omake.
No, no. Those are things that we want. As we said, we want head spinning. We want people who are not doing their job. The policy that are not working.
I heard your Misima there.
Yeah.
You know Misima, eh? Omisima and Dungu, that Omisima is more easier to manage. Because Omisima, you know, it's easy.
Yeah.
Most of them now, they are disappearing because we don't sustain them. We don't do that work. I love the suggestion that, yes, people can just team up, organize themselves and coordinate their little resources, and they request now for some kind of intervention.
Yeah.
From those who may have some, so puna natango mataraka u taraka, I mean u unambuno au kupedo au fana chika. So those o may mango atadru kupa matare mos. So puna no matare matare ngi no tagongi wangone nando those tra is it?
Yeah.
Tractors, not tractors.
Whatever. How do they call them?
Those ones that you always see them digging, you know.
Yeah.
With the community working together, and I think it's doable. Those are possible things.
The government has a goal and has a plan, and those plans are very clear. I think the issue, really the biggest issue, and that has been for a while, and actually this administration is trying to address, is the whole question of implementation and enforcement. Enforcement of policies, enforcement implementation of these policies. That's the biggest problem.
Yeah, the execution of policy, like you are saying. Because you see, if those policies and the programmings and all these other things are not being executed as the policy stipulates or those instruments. So we are also called as pigeon that, yes, we can work together here. We have that legal obligation towards the social welfare of our community. And then we can also now demand and bring those ones to account where we think that, yes, this policy is there and is telling us that we must have basic necessity of water and things like that. How do we then bring up that thing? So then the leadership, the structures, and all these communities and all these structures that are existing in the community there, once the needs are identified, there are also ways of seeing that how do we come together and do these things? Like it was suggested there, people can come together. Maybe they also need some incentive. You can now bargain with the government or whoever so that you can get some incentive for voluntary kind of activities. So, Mike, I think I should end up here. God bless.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through.
Yes.
All right. I think that maybe let's get also to our second story for this morning. But you're welcome. You're most welcome to. So I wanted some people from Rundu as well to come through and just give us the what is the situation in Rundu, you know, and how are they coping, really? I know this is this is not just typical example. This is not just exception to Rundu. There are other towns as well experiencing the same problem. So, but all right, let's get to. To our second story this morning. And this, it actually has to do with, you know, we're looking at one of the, this is over, ever being, you know, this issues is always emotional, deeply rooted in issues many issues in our country, and that's actually land. It's not just when you're talking about land, it's not just the ground you walk on. So we're talking about heritage. When you talk about land, you talk about heritage, you're talking about identity, you're talking about, you know, survival. So that's what we're talking about. But now the traditional leaders across Namibia say their authority over communal land is under threat. Because of the proposed new land bill before parliament. There is a new land bill before parliament, and it seems, according to the traditional leaders across Namibia, saying their communal land is under threat. So here is what is happening. So let's look at what is happening. So the new land bill, tabled in September by Minister Inge Dhamwani Kamwi, aims to bring all existing land together. So now, not all existing laws. So it's aimed now to bring all existing laws together. One big piece of a legislation that covers commercial, agricultural, and communal land. So one big piece of legislation. Now, it sounds neat and tight, you know, right? Now, but traditional leaders see it differently. So Chief Emmanuel Gossip, the chairperson of the Council of Traditional Authorities, says the bill will strip them their power to manage communal land. So, just hold a second. So the Chief Manuel Gossip, so no, chairperson of the council, the Council of Traditional Authority, says the bill will strip them of their power to manage communal land, the very heart of their role in the community. So that's the very heart of the traditional leader role in the community. So under the current law, specifically the Council of Traditional Leader Act of 1997, any law that affect communal land must first be discussed with traditional leader before it goes to parliament. And Chief Gossip said that didn't happen this time. Okay? So he said that never happened. It didn't happen. So the big question is, does this new law, when we're talking about that it's kind of like one big piece of legislation that covers commercial, agricultural, and communal land. So does this new law modernize Namibia's land management? Or, I just want you to think about, or maybe unintentionally also, does it quietly erase traditional authority? Because what he's saying here is that it's actually threatened what is at heart of their role in the community, that actually to manage the communal land. Now, this new law modernize Namibia's land management, or does it quietly erase traditional authority? Now, so let's look at what is really at stake here. Okay? Let's unpack what is really going on here. Okay? So, now on one side, government say the new bill will simplify and unify how land is managed. Of course, you have this one now, you know, one piece of legislation. Make things more efficient, less confusing, and reduce disputes. Okay? It's about cutting red tape and ensuring fairness, and especially in cases where traditional authority aren't, there are those traditional who are not formally recognized yet, you know, or not just formally recognized. So it's kind of reducing now some kind of either and ensuring that some kind of fairness, and especially in those areas where this where there are no formal recognition of those traditional authorities. So that's on the side of the government. So, but then you have critics say this is not just about efficiency. So it is about control. Okay? So if communal land decision move from traditional leaders to central land boards and committees, what happened to the centuries of customary management systems that for centuries has been managed by the traditional leaders? So what happened to that, customary management system? Think about it. So now, for generation, traditional leaders have allocated land for homes, you know, for grazing, for farming, you know. So they have been doing this. They know the people. We're also looking in terms of the context here. So they know the people, the history, the boundaries, all that. Even the dispute that never make it to court, it's normally handled in this system, in this setting. Now, a land board sitting in Windhoek or maybe in Oshakati may not understand those local dynamics. They may not understand those local dynamics. So, as I said, I understand where they're coming from as well, and the implication thereof. Now, there is a risk here, okay? Now, when local authority disappear, you know, a local traditional authority disappear, not local authority, local traditional authority disappear, people may feel, and this is more like personal, people may feel alienated, like decisions about their lives are being made far away in Windhoek by people who have never set foot in their village. Think about it. So people are more connected to the traditional authority. And traditionally, you know, and I can say we are more loyal to traditional authority than even to the government. So believe me, in some quarters, in some sections, people are more loyal to traditional authority. So when that disappears, people will feel, they may feel alienated and feeling that their decision actually be made far away from people who never actually, sometimes who never, who don't even know where that village is, or where that, you know, place is. So, but the other important things the critic shouldn't forget, you know, is that not every traditional leader has managed land fairly also. So there have been cases, even in the recent years, of land grabbing, double allocations, which caused a lot of disputes and confusion, and favoritism, you know, land being, you know, given to maybe who are politically connected. So there has been issues. So there have been cases as well. One also have to understand traditional leader has not really managed land fairly. Maybe that why that move of the government is necessary. So according now to the Land Reform Ministry 2023 report, over 600 communal land disputes were recorded in just 1 year. Many linked to overlapping claims and or poor record keeping as well. So about 600 communal land cases or disputes were recorded, and that was just in 1 year. So maybe the government had a point. Maybe the government has a point. I'm just, well, here it's unpacking. We're looking at both sides. So maybe the government has a point that a more centralized system could bring transparency and accountability. Just thinking. So, but the question is, can it do that without erasing traditional authority? Because from what the traditional authority from the chairperson of that, of the council is seeing that this would actually end their role. So, but the question is, can it do that? Because if you take this away from the traditional authority, what would they have? What would they have? So now we have that balance. Can it do that without erasing traditional authority? Because there is somehow, they see that that's actually quietly, actually removing their role out. So now, as I said earlier on, it feels personal. When it comes to land, this is a personal thing, and it's an emotional one. When you look at the history context, so you need to understand the tension. We have to look back. Yeah, we have to look back. Land in Namibia is not just about economics, okay? It's about justice. During colonial rule, communal lands were stripped from black Namibians and turned into reserves. So after independence, in the 1991 National Land Conference, if you remember, promised to restore dignity. That conference, the 1991 National Land Conference, promised to restore dignity. And what is that dignity? You know? So the dignity through actually fair, now there will be fair land redistribution. And that was also that we will do that. We will have a fair redistribution. L and RR. I'm a Kwanyama. That's always a problem. Let me have some waters. Maybe that will change. When they say L and R, you know, that's always a problem for us. So as I said, yeah, so the 1991 National Land Conferences promised to restore restore dignity of people, because people were actually, you know, displaced, stripped their land by that time, and through fair land redistribution. Now, so while also then, the whole idea is while also respecting the traditional system. So now, that's why communal land is managed differently from commercial land. So it is not privately owned. It is shared. It's not privately owned. It's shared, guided by cultural values and local knowledge. You understand? So when traditional leaders hear the word centralization, it triggers old fears. You know, that decision about African land are once again being moved out of local hands. Yeah. So when I hear centralization, is, well, what would be your role? So and they are not wrong actually to be cautious. They are not wrong to be cautious, because many remember how post-independent reform often started with promises of a consultation. And if you remember, you know, only for communities actually to be sidelined. Later, they were actually sidelined. They were not consulted. Now, if the new bill sidelined traditional leader now, even unintentionally maybe, it could just reignite that deep mistrust between rural communities and the state, between traditional, you know, authorities and the state. And as we see it playing it out, okay, in public as well. So, now, we also need to to look at, okay, think also, look at also how from each point of view, and let's be honest, so let's be honest that both sides have interest to have interest at play here. Eh? Each one has actually interest at play here. So for government, a unified land act looks good politically. It shows progress. One need policy framework that modernizes Namibia's land law, which is good. As I said, that looks politically good. So it can also attract investors who want clear centralized system. Sometimes some, you know, investors have a problem in dealing with the traditional authorities, for example. So, and if you have a framework that modernizes Namibian law, land law, that is something. Now, from traditional law, from traditional leaders, keeping now land control means maintaining influence and relevance. If you take that away, what they would have no influence anymore or relevance at all. So in many rural areas, land authority equals leadership power. So equals leadership power. And losing that, that might mean becoming a ceremonial figure. You've just become a ceremonial figure rather than a decision maker. So when you look at this, neither side is wrong per se, but neither is entirely neutral either. So each one have something that they wanna, you know, take. Eh? So, and well, you can also then think who are caught in the middle. So it's you and I. So the everyday Namibians are the ones that are caught in the middle. The farmers in Nomsati, the herders in Kunene, you know, the families waiting years for plot in the communal areas. So those are the people that are caught in this, will be caught in the middle. For them, this is not just about political control. It's about where they will still have a say. So whether they will still have a say in the land they are depending on. So now, what could happen? So what now, what is the next? What could happen next? So the Chief Gossip has called for Parliament to actually stop, to hold debate and consult traditional leader as required by law. He said, consult the traditional leader. That's what the law requires. Whether Parliament listen or pushes forward will tell. I think will tell us a lot about how serious government takes take communities' voices. You know, so we will see. So, and if consultation happen, they could calm tensions and probably even improve the bill. So because they will have then the views from the traditional leaders. If not, this could become another flashpoint, you know, not just legally, but socially as well. And that's very important because when people feel ignored about land, and let me warn you, when people feel ignored about land anywhere, conflict follows, especially in Africa. So history has shown that, you know, from 1914 uprising, from that uprising to more recent local land dispute. So when you ignore a people about land, conflict always follows. So I think it's something the government has to consider seriously, you know. So especially when power control is, when control is actually in jeopardy, okay? So, yeah. So we have unpacked more than just the bill. We have unpacked the struggle, as we can see from here, the struggle between tradition and modern governance. So between efficiency and local control, because those are the issues that at play here. Well, it is a tough balance. It is a tough balance, but one thing is very clear. One thing is very clear. Namibia's land belong not just to the state or to the traditional leaders. It belongs to you. It belongs to the people who live on it, who you live on it, who work on it, okay? And who pass it on? Who pass it on? Okay? So the challenge now is, it's really finding a system that respects both heritage and progress. We want to progress, all right? But we also want to keep our heritage as well. So I think the challenge is now finding a system that respects both, you know, community values, the century, you know, customary system that we have, and the progress, of course. We want that, yes, we want also to progress, and we need to have new way of doing things. So if that is sorted out in a way that harmonize this, then, you know, I think we're moving somewhere. All right. So what is your take on that? So what is your, what do you think about that? So my line will be open now. You can come through, even if you want to also maybe, you know, what's that, comment on our earlier, you know, our earlier item, our earlier story on Rundu water crisis. And, or you want to also comment to this, story as well, what we have covered now. So please do come through. Our telephone number is 08-333-66-0918, 08-333-66-0918. And our time is about 33 minutes past the hour of 9. So come through, have your say. You are welcome.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha, utekirokaguna, I matina, omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana, nongeshifa, ya, shiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa, ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe, yongeshefa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa zetu. Moambo, dengira selma, onarahe tatu imwe. Datundatu heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter.
Welcome back. Welcome back. And if you're just joining us, a very good morning to you and welcome. Welcome. Thanks for joining us here on Unpacking the Day on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM, The Eye. So, yeah, what do you think? Should land management stay local or should we centralize let's say, for fairness? So what do you think? 08-333-66-091. You are mostly welcome to have your take. So, it's a very interesting one. As I said, for me, it's also sometimes when you think, so as I said, for traditional leader, keeping the land control means maintaining influence and relevance. So once you take that away, because that actually equals to authority, the land authority equals to leadership power. You know, if you lose that, you are expecting that our traditional leaders to become just ceremonial figures, rather than actually a decision makers in a governing process. So it's very, very important to to note. So, yeah. And as I said, we also need to, you know, also to understand from the government point of view where we need policies, some need policy framework that actually modernize Namibia land laws. And that has been for years that we have to come to a point where we actually deal with this. And this is the most important, this is the very most important, you know, priority in the country that should be sorted out in some way or form, you know, because people died for that. Eh? People died for that. And in some way, we have to trade carefully and when it comes to this. And not completely, not thinking of taking this responsibility from the traditional leaders. So, yeah, as I said, for many people it's very emotional, because there were, you know, people who have been, you know, murdered and slaughtered because of land, people who have, you know, died because of this. So, yeah, it's not an easy issue that, you know, you can just sweep under the carpet. So we need to come to, you know, and probably look into the bill. I need to see the draft or whatever maybe is available to see what is actually in there and, probably be, familiarized with where we're going to see, and if we can chat some of the aspects that are, which we did, I think. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, no, I remember actually talking some of the things that are coming in, that's, you know, in the new land bill. Like the foreign, ownership and all that. Yeah. So good morning, and you're welcome to come through. I thought maybe you'll be passionate about land. So it doesn't look like that you actually guys are passionate about land. All right. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Bom dia, família.
Bom dia. Como está?
Estamos bom, obrigado. E tu ali?
Ah, estou bem, estou bem. Estou fixe.
Nós estamos no Edico, em Amguanangope, estamos bem.
Itatu Monande, we're still there.
Ai, Itaú, maga.
Ah, we're still in,
yeah. Wait, we just want to have no system, Maguja. All of the opposition party come here, let us talk. Because the dream we have is one.
Yeah.
The dream is for us to have a better country and people to have a better future. You know, it's not easy to do it, but yes, you can see a leadership really is kind of giving us a other direction. It's okay, things can be done like this way.
Yeah.
Yes, and you can learn something from it. It's okay. You don't need to be just too angry people. Let us come together to see if I'm doing wrong, come and fix me.
Yeah.
Tell me where I'm not doing right, especially when it comes to the issue you are talking about, you know, the land issue and stuff, so on.
You know what the problem comes is when, you know, it's like you have children, you know, Okana, can you get them from Malakula Mangave, you know? Kanakamo getting from Malakula, Malave, you know, Ovoku, no Kumakeri, no Makeri again, and the people are which are why she or he actually have a piece of and then from Malakula Mangame no Kumakera, how?
The person who in front of the queue to get the food, just look at his plate. He'll forget, even forget to say there's others who are coming behind me.
No, you actually what you're saying is that those who are closer to the food, you know, they take more. Exactly.
So you take even on my behalf.
Exactly. You see, that's the things that those we have them closer, those who are closer to the plate, you know, to the coffer, they're eating more than what they should. Hmm?
You know what? It's the mentality we have.
Yeah.
We black community.
Yeah.
That's why you find even the car is a red car, the tires are black. White car, tires are black.
Yeah.
Even to the land issue, I was just thinking more to say, you are right what are you saying?
Mm.
But now, let us look around the issue we have in the also in the issue of willing buyer, willing seller.
Yeah.
Now maybe the government is used to put more money to develop those kind of activities, but the money needs going in other direction. As we saw now what's happening at Okavango.
Yeah.
7.7 million. So the money was given, but the money was not being utilized on the right direction.
Yeah.
So what also happened in the land issue? Maybe you never know.
No, that's, I mean, you can also look at, I think what you're saying is that how much have we spent on the land redistribution and how much productivity, how productive are those lands? How do they contribute to our economy, or how do they contribute actually to a living standard of the people who are on those lands? So those are the questions. We spend more, we can see a lot of input, but the output is quite minimal, you know?
Yeah, and also I think also even on the leadership system, when you have a good leadership in that system, so things also going to be easier for the people to get the service.
Yeah.
If the leadership also is not too transparent and you don't want people to question you, you don't go to the televisions, you don't talk to the newspapers, it would be difficult for you to have to lead your country in the good direction, because you never heard from the poor, because the poor always, because you look on the newspapers to say what's happening to this area, there's no water, let me, what can I do? So if you don't look in the newspaper now,
yeah,
your leadership is not that transparent, it's difficult for you to, that's why sometimes we appreciate the leadership of people who are doing well.
Yeah, no, definitely. But yes, as they say, the taste of the pudding is in the eating. I always forget that saying. Yeah. So the taste of the pudding is in the eating, or something like that. I can't remember exactly how it said. Yeah. So what I try to say is that, you know, let's say for example you have two leaders, a leader who can talk to you and really motivate you and when he speak you say yes or talk on and and you have a leader who might not say anything, but he go to those places and get things done, you know, this need to change and it change and all those kind of things. So which one would you take, you know?
I know it's really, you can see the change, you know. Leadership also makes sense or even matter, or if you have a good leadership. Now look now, it's like Namibia, he never had the agricultural minister or even agriculture schemes and those kind of things.
Yeah.
It's like we just got independent yesterday. The way things are now going well, you know. You can hear here, we have potatoes here, we have what? Where have you been for all of these years?
Yeah.
Because of the leadership which was not really that up to date.
Yeah, but one thing that we also don't want is that spending time coming up with policies. So so there was this. Let me give an example. Okay, there was this, and we always there's this two project. There's this one was given to a church, and the other one was given to an NGOs. Now,
yeah.
So the church, the pastor, you know, he went on in the community, because he's in the community, they get everything done, you understand?
Mm.
You know, but he didn't keep the papers. He didn't keep the documents, you know. Mm. Kind of didn't keep the administration. His administration was not good, you know, in terms of this is what that, this is how much we spent and this is what we bought and all that. And then he had the NGOs that actually, you know, everything, every paper is in order and nothing at all happened. Now, the donor came. Now, they go to the NGO first. Okay. They go to the office. They look at the paper. Oh, things are very good. You know, well, well, everything is recorded. Now, they go to the site and see what happened. There was nothing much happened. You know, the papers are good, but there's nothing happening out there. And they go now to, they went now to the pastor one. So the pastor, they go to the office. Okay, show us what you have done. There is nothing that show on the paper, but he said, let me take you there and see. Yes, they can see, well, things are, you know, flourishing and all that, but there's nothing that shows how much you spend where. You know? So, as I said, there need to be a balance, you know.
Yes.
We shouldn't just spend much time in the office, you know, putting the paper right. But then, at the end, we get out of the office and we go and see what happened and there's nothing, you know. So we need to see that the balance has to be right, okay?
Yes, but a good leadership and a good leader, you when you are pastoring your goats or your Tony Fengobe, you'll be behind them. Behind them. For you to be to monitor your animals well. But even a good leader is those who also learn from others to say, okay, this, I don't like it. I don't want to be like this guy. I want to be like this one. Yeah. So if you learn from others, then you can do your country to go to the better direction. Now, if you look around now, like in South Sahara Africa, we have, let me say, Namibia is a baby. We have Nigeria, we have South Africa, and we have just three countries. We have Angola. But go to the border from Angola to Namibia. In Kunene now, let me say in Kunene.
Yeah.
You don't even find a single abattoir there in Kunene. But the people are coming, flying from Luanda, coming to buy meat here. You don't see people are suffering in Kunene?
Yeah.
You only think about when election? You don't think about them when things are well? Even today, there's people who are drinking dirty water. My brother, dirty water, if that water gets dry. I know those boreholes that they were being created in 1971, 2, 3 there when the Portuguese are there. Now, just imagine a small girl walking 15 to 20 kilometers going to the river to fetch the water, almost like you work for the whole day and all 2 days to go and come back.
Yeah.
And those people are crying. We don't have them because you don't move, as you're saying. Things that you're doing paper, but you don't go there and see. And you don't follow the newspapers. It's a problematic, but we want leaders like what they're doing now, right now. It's a good thing.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah. But we shouldn't also cover up our shortcomings by comparing. You know, it's like a parent, you know.
Yeah.
You say, hey, you are complaining about this. But But we are not from there, you know. We are a different house. So, and things are different in here. So,
what deny
me something just because it's not available in the other.
You know, what we are just begging or praying these African leaders to learn for those countries which are being things are going well. Like we have Namibia who can send meat to Europe. That's what we want. We want leaders who are like, you go to the villages, like in here, we have, go to the border, you find a clinic with medications. That's what we want. Now, those leaders who are not doing well, please, they must copy from others. That's what we want.
Yeah.
But I don't want to take long time. I give chance for others to also participate. But I don't hear you very well.
Yeah.
My phone or either maybe the system, I don't hear you very well, but that's okay.
All right, Ben.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming through, yeah?
All right.
083-366-091. We still have about 9 minutes before we end this episode of Unpacking the Day. So come through. This last minute, I will allow you to, you know, to bring in anything, you know, that you want to talk about. Yeah. So as long as it's about bread and butter.
Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Yes, Dr. Michael.
Yes.
Sorry to come back, but I think I have a suggestion, man.
Yeah.
Because the topic which you've just bring it now is more important than the one who was discussing about the earlier one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe if you can just, when you are starting the program, you introduce us to all to those two topics. So whenever, whether I come in, I either comment to both of them or one.
No, the best way is if I do that, I will actually take maybe almost an hour talking by myself, you know. So, and people sometimes may forget actually what you were talking earlier. So it's better.
Yeah.
Okay, let's finish one topic. And if you have many people coming through that, we might just discuss that topic and not be able to discuss the other one. So, but if you see that, well, people are not calling anymore on the other topic, maybe let's cover this one as well. So, yeah.
Otherwise,
I will be talking for too long, you know, and then people may not even remember what you said. And
what you are saying.
Yeah, it's and that's why we limit also to a certain time so that you remember also what has been discussed so that you can come in quickly. So, yeah, but you are welcome to come back, you know, to a second topic and give comment. That's not a problem. Yeah,
let me dive in, Mike. Mike, you see, I don't know why we are forgetting the history. And it's always, they always say the history is always like to repeat itself.
Yeah.
Who's forcing us to come up with that bill? Or what is, or maybe they misunderstanding us when we are complaining about that, you know, we can't have a country which is divided by the land. We're only talking about the, in the index of what, when it comes to financial.
Yeah.
Being sitting that our land must have a value.
But when you, I think with as you move as time passes, I think a certain bill, a certain law may not address actually a certain aspect as we grow. So therefore, you need actually then to maybe amend the bill. You come up with a new one that would then address your problems.
Yeah, but for now, Mike, I don't think that the bill it got nothing to do really with our problem. It's even going to add more. And it's even going to bring a chaos. I'm telling you, it's not a joke.
Yeah, that's
why sometimes kind of stable like Namibia, then you think people and they have a bit with this kind of government, current government or anything. When you come up with a bill like that one, because remember, I always remember that we all of us, we come from what our traditional leaders. We are even respecting them. Then this particular of today, they.
Yeah.
No. Why they say, want to propose something like that? We have too many issues which is supposed to be addressed. I don't think it's necessary, really. And I don't think it's even allowed to reach the parliament.
It's
about to scrape it off already. Because remember one thing that our traditional leader, they know how to distribute the land. Otherwise, we are supposed to already be in chaos. Like what is happening here.
Yeah. I mean, that's it at the heart of their role. If you take that away and they become the ceremonial figure rather than decision makers, then what is their role? You know, that's actually, if you take away land control from them, you take away their influence.
Their power. And I mean, even though they don't have any power anymore. Yeah. Because now, remember, they are in the pocket of the politician. Because of those vehicles which they have been distributed and the allowance they are getting and the quotas. But seriously, this is a hard time, I think, traditionally, that they have to come out.
Yeah,
we cannot allow it. We cannot. Because remember one thing, that they even changed the way things used to be done. Those things will never happen in our forefathers. Family village.
Bara opime ne ama bakalamo nalo mahenga bakalamo nalo toko ba pre ima engo beda wedi bakala tula mona mu kundamu. The whole family, maybe even the family now is so poor because they need to get that to keep that the village out is. Eme omuna no anota chusinga, you choose a person. Who is this now? Our traditional method, they are moving away to come to politician. We don't have people to be chosen like a politician. We groom.
Yeah.
We groom, Mike, you are taking over if I pass on.
And we believe in that because there is a exactly. cultural heritage that comes with that, you know?
Oh,
and,
Mike, no, man.
And
no,
if
no.
you don't obey according to customary and believe, if you don't obey those laws
yeah.
and regulations, it create chaos, you know,
I'm telling
in
you.
in that community, you know.
No, man, Mike, now this is something which I know we are not supposed to have those things happening,
yeah.
because why is all like even we are bitter, we are just still happy that because we are having we call home where we come from,
yeah.
we or was respecting Amino Nkunda. Respecting the headman. Hey, now if you take away from that, do you think they will become a livestock of the village? You want to go to the top of Michigan? What power you have?
Yeah, because
I'll do whatever I want with my land because
I mean you can
the person who are controlling it are in the window.
I mean you cannot just pick Mike to become the king of Ondoka, you know.
Yeah,
there are traditions and heritage that comes with
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
You know, so, and if you don't follow that, no, even you won't, as you said, you won't get respect, you know.
This meme who are tapering the table, bill, is not the one who is controlling in the mine. Zamazi. Is not the one who say, that mining is not even falling in the under what?
No. So that's with the Ethereum.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought this was the one who is agriculture.
I don't know.
The Minister of Agriculture.
The Minister of Agriculture is the one that is actually tabling that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the mommy, yeah. The money.
Yeah. She following, I think it's mine is under the president. Oh, yo. I'm mistaken there.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of things you have to talk about when it comes to agriculture, rather than come up with a bill like that one. Seriously, no man. Anyway, Mike, okay, let me jump, but it really it's a pain.
All right, man.
Thank you, man.
Great.
All right. Well, now a couple of you now are coming at this point in time. So, well, our time is about 59 minutes past the hour of 9. And that's actually bring us to the end of our episode of Unpacking the Day Today. And thanks for those who come through and who participated and give their contributions. We are waiting for you. We're waiting for your voice. We want you to air your voice as well. We want to know what is happening in your region, in your town, when it comes to a specific issues that we're discussing. That's why we create this platform for you to do that. So let's use it to the maximum. Okay. So, and that's bring us to, the end. And, I'm going to leave you I'm going to cross now to Wintuk. Going to hand over the mic. Now, Big Mike is handing over the mic to Tate France coming up with Kutha Mosha. Make sure that you tune into that because they are very interesting discussion that is happening on that show as well. So, and keep listening to other shows that are coming throughout the day today. So, until next time, keep thinking, keep questioning, and keep unpacking. I'm Michael Chiavelli.